is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. How about a Monday visit with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer? Get an update on the COVID-19 situation from a lot of levels. Dr. Bob, thanks for being back on with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, so much going on right now. It seems like almost besieged with information from all levels on COVID-19. Let's talk about the local situation because just like everywhere else, we're still seeing a big uptick.
We certainly are. So the world is seeing a big uptake. The country is seeing a big uptake. Oregon is seeing huge surge in cases. And we, too, have seen that here in Douglas County.
So let's talk about it locally, just how the numbers have gone up so much in the past week.
Yes, the numbers have gone up tremendously. So as I'm looking at the daily counts, you know, we usually had less than 10 cases until right around the election time. And since then, the cases have gone up tremendously, so that now we've seen as many as 30 cases in a single day.
And what do you attribute that? Is it one particular thing or a lot of different things?
There are many different things. So this is really very well scattered all across the county. And in fact, areas in the county that had not previously had disease, such as the Tiller area, Camas Valley area, and the Scottsburg area, now all have a number of cases. These cases seem to be related mostly to gatherings. We had a large party on Halloween that spawned a lot of cases, and a couple of other smaller parties that spawned cases.
What about sort of the state view right now of COVID-19? We're seeing some counties, especially around Portland, sometimes if you combine the four counties, it's like 600 cases in a day.
Yes, a tremendous number of cases in the area, and I think that's why the governor was prompted to issue a freeze.
And are there parts of Oregon, I mean, is it just that there's more people? For instance, Salem to Portland, is that a big part, or are there other factors as well?
Well, there are several areas. One is that as people are closer together as they are in cities, you'll have more cases. In addition, they've had a lot of cases for a long time, and their public health has not been able to track all of them down. In a more rural area, you can sometimes figure out where these cases come from. But in such a dense area, such as the Portland area, it's really hard to track them back.
But we're also seeing places like Jackson County, which is kind of in the middle, with a lot of cases as well.
So Jackson County has a tremendous number of cases. Many of those have been associated with nursing homes, and some have been associated with food processing areas.
And other particular hotspot areas in Oregon right now?
Well, the other hotspot areas in Oregon now are around the universities. Now, that's quieted a little bit, but the universities had a tremendous number of cases back last month.
And, of course, while instruction is in person, there are a lot of kids living in campus, on campus. And obviously we've heard about, particularly from Eugene, about social gatherings, parties, et cetera.
Yeah, social gatherings and congregate living, such as in fraternity houses, has really been the source of the greatest spread at the college campuses.
What about nationwide right now? Talk about where the big upticks are.
Well, it's throughout the country. There used to be hot spots and then cooler spots. At this point, everywhere in the country except Hawaii has lots of cases. We're seeing especially lots of cases in Illinois, Wisconsin, and the Dakotas, where if you look at the map, it's basically all red.
Wow. Now, what about at a world level? We hear about different parts of Europe very locked down. Other areas of the world, what can you tell us?
Well, over 50 million cases in the world. And when you look at these cases, it's mostly now in the Northern Hemisphere, where the U.S. And Central Europe seem to be having the worst time of it now. France, Spain, Germany, and Switzerland are all having quite a few cases. And even Sweden, which had taken kind of a hands-off approach today, enacted gathering size limits of 8.
8. Wow. And that's on a national level.
And that's what I read.
Wow. So for health professionals like yourself, I know a pandemic kind of throws a curveball at everybody and things change as they go along. What are some of the aspects of the virus that you've been learning more about?
Well, we've been learning a little bit more how this virus is so very differential in the way it affects people. So again, many people who would be asymptomatic, some who are moderately ill, and then some who are deathly ill. And in fact, we've had 10 deaths in Douglas County and may have more soon because we have so many older people in the hospital.
What about long-term effects? One of the things I've been fascinated to hear about is someone tests, they're sick for a while, they're considered recovered, but down the road, it seems like there may be, at least for some people, some long-term implications to having this.
There really are. So we looked at some of our early cases. Many of them were still not back to normal. New study came out today in the Annals of Internal Medicine that suggested that 2 months after the illness, most people are still not nearly back to normal. And we are concerned because some people, even who had relatively minor disease, are showing changes with their heart and changes in their lungs that could have long-term effects. Now, we don't know. These changes may normalize with time, but seeing those changes in the heart and the lungs is a bit worrisome.
What about the large number of people hospitalized locally? It was just a week or so ago, we had the meeting with the media, yourself, and a number of other health officials, and County Commissioner Tim Freeman, and talked about at that point that it was 11 people hospitalized. That was a big increase. But in the last few days, we had a day where 20 people were hospitalized locally for COVID-19.
Indeed, 20 people in the hospital is very worrisome. And it's worrisome because with the large number of patients we have now, and the large number of patients, especially who are older, we really worry that these people are going to wind up getting in the hospital and then even perhaps dying from the disease. So we had 30 people who were over 70 in our group this morning.
Now, we have so many people in isolation and in quarantine, and that combined number is in the mid-600s. How taxing is this for the medical workers, the contact tracers, everybody else?
Well, this is really making it very hard for the contact tracers. You know, we have 30 people working on this, and we're hiring more now. But with this number of cases, you're not going to hire our way out of this. We really, really just need to bring the case count down. Contact tracing is most effective when each person get called every day. But during this surge, the state has changed the guidelines so that we're calling people at the beginning and at the end of quarantine, but not contacting with them each and every day.
So there's just so many people to contact. Let's talk about the social gatherings. New measures go into effect from the governor on Wednesday. Maybe run through some of those, talk about how they might make an impact.
And I think they'll make an impact in several ways. There's changes on the way that restaurants operate. So restaurants in the past had been open for in-person dining and were asked to move to takeout. We have decreased the gathering size. We have recommended that anybody who can work from home should work from home. We have recommended that people who travel should quarantine when they get back. This is a special point for me because anyone who's watched my Facebook knows that we have the over 20 states now where we have gotten cases from where people travel, get sick, come back, and bring it to Douglas County. So just in this last week or so, we've seen somebody went to Texas. Whole family got sick and brought it back. Family went to California, brought it back, and infected an area of the county that previously had no disease.
What about, I'm just looking through some of the measures here. Obviously, with Thanksgiving coming up and other normal times for people to gather, the idea of pulling back on that is frankly depressing for a lot of people, and I'm sure some people kind of even on a pushback level of it.
That is true, although counter that with the recent excellent data that we got on these vaccines. So the Pfizer vaccine looks like it's going to be about 90% effective. The Moderna vaccine came in today with a 94% effectiveness. So if indeed these are as good as they look to be, once we can start immunizing people in the beginning of the new year, we can really knock this thing out. You know, we were hoping for a 50% effective vaccine, and 90% effective vaccine is the best Christmas present I could ever get. And so we know that if we can start immunizing people in the springtime and in the summertime, that maybe by the fall of next year, this will be behind us. So this doesn't mean that we need to buckle down forever. 9 months is really all we need to do this for to get this down. And I think seeing sort of an end to this will make it so much easier for people.
Now, the new vaccine announced today also has a different aspect compared to the first one, which you talked about last week. And the cumbersome is the word that comes to mind. Need to keep it extremely, basically, dry ice coldness and trying to figure out the logistics of how that would happen. The second one announced today doesn't have that component.
Well, it still needs to be kept very cold, colder than you can usually get in any freezer, but it doesn't need to be at the temperature of dry ice. I spent much of the weekend working with people from the state on exactly how we're going to be able to take care of those logistics. But if there's any county that's ready to do it, it's Douglas County. I mean, we have done these drive-through COVID testing. We've done drive-through flu clinics for years. We did three already this year, and it's a well-oiled machine. So we think we're in great shape to get this vaccine distributed as soon as it's available.
Going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1248, and News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1250. Lars Larson coming at 1 o'clock on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, a two-segment program. We're going to talk to County Commissioner Tim Freeman about the county's role in the COVID-19 situation, dealing with different aspects from county government. And part two, Dr. Jason Gray, Chief Medical Officer of Mercy Medical Center, will join us to talk about the hospital's role and how they're faring in this situation. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us. And during the commercial break, you've been waiting for the numbers to come out, and I see they have hit my email that today 22 people have received positive test results and one more death to report today.
Yes, indeed. Our concern is that deaths follow hospitalizations and hospitalizations follow cases. And with this huge increase in cases in the last 10 days, our concern is that the hospitalization numbers and the death numbers will continue to rise.
And it's interesting as well. I was looking over the weekend, really for different reasons, at another part of the country. And I was looking, it's funny, in the old days when you were interested in maybe visiting someplace or finding out more about it, you would go to, you know, various websites and find out more. And one of the things I had looked at initially was, well, just how many COVID-19 cases do they have right now? This particular area is bigger than we are, more like the size of kind of the Eugene area. But the number of cases was way bigger, way larger than what we have here. And it's interesting to kind of contemplate what we're dealing with here, but then ramp it up. I think this was four times the amount in that particular area. I mean, a lot of parts of the country are getting hit way harder.
Oh, they are. And so, you know, we have considered Douglas County and then compared it to three other counties and other states in the country, and they're having five times as many cases as we're having. That's almost impossible for me to believe that you could handle that, but they're having many, many, many more cases than we have for a very long time. And so their ability to do contact tracing and case investigation is even less. And the number of deaths in those areas is very high. So when I look in those counties, we've had now 11 deaths, which seems to me to be very high. But in these other places, they've had as many as 100 deaths for a similar-sized county.
Let's talk about the 14-day quarantine travel advisory. Talk more about the logistics of that and what people are being asked to do if they leave the area, go on a trip, and then come back.
Right. So I had a call over the weekend about a family whose daughter was coming back from a college in Indiana. And the recommendation is that she should, when she comes back to Eugene, you should leave a car there for her, and she should drive now back down to Roseburg, and she should stay in her room for 2 weeks, and then after that, she's good to go. The concern is that she would bring disease back either from her college or somewhere along her travel, and then spread it to her family, and then we have another outbreak here from another state. So she should come back, enjoy Oregon from her room for a few weeks, and then come back and join the family.
And for a lot of people, 14 days is a couple of weeks. If you're doing a motel room, that gets a little pricey. Maybe you happen to have an extra house or other options like that as well. But it's something that could be quite an expense.
Yes, it could be quite an expense. And you know, we're not asking people to be totally unrealistic about this. But, for example, in this case, she could easily stay in her room for 2 weeks. Similarly, have a friend who's going to Hawaii for 2 weeks around Christmas time. And the recommendation is that they go, enjoy their time in Hawaii. On the way back, arrange to telework for 2 weeks, in which case you're not going to be exposing anybody else. So we're not telling people that you can't travel. We're just saying you really need to be careful because, again, travel has led to maybe half of the cases in our community.
Do you know for other areas, is that 50% ratio, is that pretty common, or does it vary place to place?
Oh, it's mostly in areas which have had very little disease. I mean, if you're in an area like North Dakota, probably most of the cases are homegrown and not very much from travel. But here, because we've had a very low rate of disease, most of our cases have at least started in outside areas.
Let's talk about the school aspect, the test positivity rate impacting the ability of some districts to have in-person school. I know some of them are going to be looking at numbers. Maybe they already are today.
Right. So with high numbers like this, the recommendations is that schools move to distance learning. There are a number of exceptions that make this very complicated. But what happens is when there's a lot of cases in the community, then there are a lot of cohorts in the school that become positive, typically not because they got this at school, but typically because teachers get sick doing something else that they're doing and then come to work, or students get it from their family and then go to school. In fact, we have not seen any convincing evidence of spread in schools, but lots and lots and lots of school outbreaks related to people getting it in other parts of their lives.
And obviously this is complicated things because when you pivot back and forth between in-person or distance learning, not only does that impact the kid, the teacher, other school staff, but parents who are trying to juggle their job schedule.
It gets incredibly complicated, right? Because every time there's an infected person, then it affects others. So we had one today at a school district where a school bus driver was affected, and there were over 40 kids on her bus. So all 40 of those kids now need to be quarantined for 2 weeks, and that's going to be a Herculean task to find them all, have the parents stay home for 2 weeks with the kids as they quarantine. The goal really is to bring down the background level of disease. If we were able to get the background level of disease down to where we were at the end of August or the beginning of September, we could easily open schools and wouldn't have issues.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, we'll talk again soon. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.